that realization where you can kind of just take your thoughts and that internal narrative and get outside of yourself and almost observe it and give yourself a lot of grace and compassion, which I thought was really interesting because I think a lot of us kind of are like, go harder, you can do it, pull it together, you know? I wanted to be seen as tough and strong and resilient, but I feel like a lot of that comes from also being vulnerable and allowing yourself to process the hard emotions too.
Welcome to Beyond Busy, the podcast where we redefine success and explore what exists beyond the hustle. I'm your host, Marissa Hohaya, CEO and founder of Breakup with Busy. I'm a former top executive recruiter turned multi-certified coach and energy healer, and I'm on a mission to help high-achieving women rediscover who they are beyond their achievements, resumes, and to-do lists to manifest a meaningful, soulful life from flow, not force. Join me each week in conversation with dynamic guests as we dive into what lies beyond busy. Through the lens of psychology, spirituality, and energetics, we uncover insights on manifesting a fulfilling and wildly abundant life. If you're seeking balance, impact, and connection, this podcast is for you. It's time to free yourself from doubt, fear, and the pursuit of hustle, and step into who you came here to be. Tune in to Beyond Busy and let's embark on this journey together. Welcome to this episode of Beyond Busy. Today's guest is Sarah Cole, a nurse anesthetist by trade and founding director of Hue and Grace. She's on a mission to coach and empower busy working moms to leverage their time on social media, building meaningful online businesses, while also improving their hormone health and wellness. Sarah and I met through a mutual girlfriend a few years ago, and not only is she one of literally the most genuine people I've ever met, she's also smart and hardworking. And I've watched her over the years work on how to create freedom and abundance without the hustle. And then so enthusiastically and without agenda, committing herself to helping other women do the same and opening their eyes to what else is available to them if they take a chance on believing it's possible and a chance on themselves. And in doing so, she has figured out how to make a massive impact on so many lives, attract huge financial abundance, and still create the time and space for her son and her family, while at the same time struggling very openly with some infertility issues that, in my opinion, could have and would have stopped a lot of others in her situation. So I had to bring her on today to share her story and her insights on how the hell she does it. Welcome, Sarah. So glad to have you here. I want to dive right into your story for our listeners because I think it's just such a common experience. You went to this prestigious university, University of Michigan. You became a CRNA, a very respectable, known, safe career choice. And then you ended up in network marketing, where you've not only found a ton of success, but also a whole new layer of impact and fulfillment and purpose, and a new and different way to positively influence people's lives far beyond your training, right? So tell us a little bit about that journey and how and why that pivot happened for you.
Yeah, I'm happy to share and also just so excited to be on here with you. I just love everything that you're doing. It's right up my alley. And yeah, so kind of, you know, going back is, you know, I'm somebody who's always, I've always had kind of vision on where I wanted to go. You know, from a very young age, I was like, okay, nope, I want to be, at first I wanted to be a pediatrician. I want to have a family someday, get, you know, I'm the oldest of three. Yeah. And all that comes with it, I wanted to be responsible. And like one of the things you said was safe. I wanted to choose the safe route and a route that I knew like, okay, I could make a certain amount of money and I can also have that life balance too that I knew eventually I would want to have as I got older. So, you know, going into anesthesia, going to University of Michigan, you're around a lot of just high performing people, had a great time there. And it also kind of, you surround yourself with people where you kind of level up, you know, too, which is really, yes, really good for me at the time. And that's kind of where I learned. I'm like, okay, this is what I need to do. I need to always get myself in these rooms where people are encouraging me to level up. And so, you know, I went into nursing, but originally I wanted to do more of like a neonatal, maybe nurse practitioner. I love babies. I actually job shadowed my pediatrician. I wanted to be a doctor for a very long time. And my pediatrician was like, I was like, how's your life balance? She was like, like, terrible. I'm going to be honest. Like, it's really, really tough. You should look into nursing and nurse practitioners. So I like job shadow, I got into learning about anesthesia. And I think a lot of people don't realize what nurse anesthetists do and how independent we can be. A lot of us practice solo. And I had, honestly, I'm just going to be totally transparent. I was looking at, hey, I want to make a six-figure, multiple six-figure career someday, right? And also have that balance. So it's always kind of been at the forefront of my mind, you know, even at a younger age too. And obviously having that purpose and taking care of people. I'm definitely more of that personality that's more like nurturing. I like to connect with people. I like to do good in the world, you know, all of that, right? Yes. So once I graduated nursing school, went straight into anesthesia pretty much. I knew that's what I wanted to do pretty early on as well. But once I graduated, I was like, okay, this is what I've worked for, right? But then you graduate and you're like, okay, I got almost $200,000 in student loan debt. And this was, you know, 11, 12 years ago, I graduated from grad school, you know? So, I mean, nowadays that's a lot more even, right?
Yeah.
And we lived in a beautiful condo in Chicago. I was newly married and we wanted, I'm following all the path, right? You go to school, you go to grad school, then you have the kids and you do the thing, right? I'm thinking I'm doing
Check all the boxes.
Check the boxes, right? Take the safe route. So once I graduated and I got the job I wanted at the place, like things kind of just worked out, right? Like everything just kind of working out for me. Then we wanted to have kids. And I was like, okay, great. This will just work out too. Well, let's just figure this out. And it was not working out at all. Mm. It was tough. And we had multiple miscarriages. I mean, I was pretty young, but then again, you know, you got a lot of women who put off having kids. We never know. I was, you know, the super fun unexplained infertility, with just really no answers. Is it the egg quality? Is it this? Is it that? Is it stuff in our environment? Who knows what it was at the end of the day, but I needed to fix it. I'm not going to just stay stuck, you know, but along with, you know, going through infertility, I'm paying a couple thousand a month in grad school loan repayments. And then I'm also paying a couple thousand a month on fertility treatments. And I felt completely stuck. So what I did was I'm like, well, I'm a nurse, right? It's kind of like shift work, you know, even when you do anesthesia. So you pick up extra shifts, you can work overtime. I was the heart team leader. So I was also not just training new CRNAs that wanted to work in the open heart room. I was training some residents. I was in charge of all the call schedules. And then I got a job working at a plastic surgeon's office on the side. I was working crazy hours, but I was in my dream job all the time. And I started resenting my dream job, to be honest. Because I was literally getting burnt out and I was burning the candle at both ends. And that's not great when you're trying to get pregnant.
No, either. Of course not.
So it was just a lot. I was finally like, this can't be it for me. There's got to be an easier way, or not even an easier way. I'm not about taking the easy route, but like there's got to be a smarter way to do this, to make an extra income and not feeling like I'm completely exhausted all the time and pay for some of these student loans. And I learned about the idea of even just making money online and using social media. You know, I was somebody who kind of looked at network marketing. I was like, oh, is that like Mary Kay? I've never done anything business related. It's always been more in the medical field, you know. I don't look like at myself as like somebody who goes into sales or marketing, but it was really interesting because I had a couple friends that were doing it and they were covering their mortgages with it, and this is in the North Shore of Chicago and the mortgages are no joke there, right? So I was like, okay,
yeah,
that's interesting that you're able to do that while I'm over here working like every single Saturday, you know, for 12 hours from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. to make extra money. You're doing this thing online and you also have like one of them had four kids, the other one had three kids as well. And I was like, okay, so maybe this is something I can look into. And the whole idea of it too was not so much like, oh, I wanted to get in and sell things. The idea was I just wanted to build that flexibility where I could replace some of my income in some way. And the end goal always stays the same. I want to live a certain life balance, but I just had to get a little bit flexible in the ways that I was going to get there too. And I went through a lot of stuff in my head, like I'm too smart to do something like that. I paid too much for school to do something like that. I have too prestigious of a career to do something like that, right? All this drama in my head. But meanwhile, I'm like, but wait a minute. Like, let's just get really honest. And it was actually my own dad. I asked him, I was like, Dad, what do you think about this? Like, seriously, like, is this a pyramid scheme? Like, what do you think? And my dad's like, no, actually, a lot of them are pretty legit. Like, you can if you work hard. And he's like, you know what? I forgot how he worded it. He actually sent me an email. I still have the email. And he was like, you know, you're smart. I know you could do this. I think you could excel. And he's like, you can always use sales and marketing skills are always helpful in anything that you
point.
Do.
Yeah. In anything great advice. Yeah.
Right. And I was like, you know what? Cause my dad's been, you know, he's seen guys that really work up that corporate ladder, you know, and a lot of them, they work up that corporate ladder, sales, marketing, recruiting, people skills. More than anything,
sure.
You know? So I jumped in, and since then, now it's been almost 10 years that I've kind of been able to just figure out that balance. And it's not perfect. I have ups and downs, but overall, it's been such a fun ride and a different way to use my brain too. And also help us with all those fertility treatments too.
Yeah, there's so much. I wrote down so many things in what you said. One of the things I want to touch on is this path that you're kind of laying out here, which is very common for, I think, a lot of high achieving women, where when something doesn't work, their default is to like, let me roll up my sleeves and fix it. Like, let me figure it out. And I'm going to work so hard. I can outwork anybody else in the room to make it happen. But it doesn't always work. It doesn't always lead to the end result that we're looking for. Right. Because, it's out of our control to some degree sometimes. So really the way to get there in most cases is to actually do the opposite and kind of surrender and really lean into trust and look at what else might be around you. What is the universe presenting? What are some other opportunities, which I love. That's basically what you did, right? Is opening up your mind to, okay, well, I can't be burning out at the hospital every single day. So what other options might I have and how can I get creative? And I think when you get creative and you open yourself up like that, things really come forward that are meant to be. So in light of everything that's happened in your journey, so obviously it's been one of perseverance and resilience and excitement and hope, and then I'm sure a lot of letdown and sadness and grief. Through that infertility battle, how have you managed to stay positive and maintain this sense of trust in the universe during these challenging times? Because you are somebody who is incredibly positive, super vulnerable, and really like constantly just ready, you know, ready to take on the world. How do you maintain that?
I love this question because this is something like the positivity, I think, didn't come from me just trying to like have rose colored glasses on or be this like positive Holly. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm also somebody.
Not a toxic positivity.
Exactly. Not the toxic, but it's a part of me where I almost feel like when you can still remain positive in a lot of situations that I've been in, you know, and a lot of things in my life, like where, you know, I just talked about like things kind of work out, blah, blah, blah. But there were so many things that were ups and downs and tough stuff that I've dealt with too. And I think it just kind of makes you a little bit stronger. But I've always, one of the biggest turning points I think I've had in my entire life was honestly when I decided to work with a life coach and started like kind of investing in myself. Cause I was finally at a point too, where we did IVF to have my son. And that was a long journey and very expensive, but we had him. But luckily it was our first round of IVF and then of all those fertility treatments that lead up to that, right? But then to have our second has been, we're still on that journey right now. We still are hoping to have one more. And I just hit about to turn 41, right? So that's a whole different ball game. And I'm not giving up.
No.
Not giving up yet, you know? However, through all of that, I was like, okay, I need to work on myself more. I need to, like, I can't just power through to this extent. Yes. Like, something has got to get, you know, I'm a very independent person and kind of can talk myself up, but I hit a wall and I worked with a life coach and she said to me, just because you have a thought doesn't mean it's true. You don't always have to believe every single default thought that your brain serves you all the time. And my mind was so blown by that concept because I was like, what do you mean? This is my reality. Of course it's right. But that would have that realization where you can kind of just take your thoughts and that internal narrative and get outside of yourself and almost observe it. And give yourself a lot of grace and compassion, which I thought was really interesting because I think a lot of us kind of are like, go harder. You can do it. Pull it together. You know, I wanted to be seen as tough and strong and resilient. Mm-hmm. But I feel like a lot of that comes from also being vulnerable and allowing yourself to process the hard emotions too.
Yes.
And you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it hits.
It's where it is, you know, and that was hard for me because I think that is what builds that resilience and strength and the positivity I can have is because I'm not afraid now. I'm still working on it all the time to process those hard emotions, you know, to feel your feels. That's why I tell my friends that are going through it too, that kind of lean on me. When you're mad, feel mad. It's okay. If you are stressed or worried or freaked out, feel it. Because I used to just push that down almost like, Sarah, come on, you're fine. Like it's cool. You're fine. I mean, that's what we do in anesthesia. You are not allowed. You got to be cool in anesthesia.
You got to be neutral and sterile, right?
Oh yeah. Neutral, sterile. If there's something going down, you are not freaking out. You are calm as a cucumber and you fix it and it's good. But you can be paddling underneath the surface, like freaking out. But that
because lives are at stake, right?
Lives so are it's at a stake much you kind of it's set a the tone.
Heavy game.
You know? Mm-hmm. It is. And you set the tone in the room, you know, too. Like if the anesthesia's concerned, everyone's concerned, right? But if the anesthesia's got under control, everything's good. You want everything calm in the OR and just act. But anyway, so just in my real life though, like you gotta put on a different hat. And oftentimes I would go from these hard from like a fertility treatment where they're checking my follicles and seeing how many are growing. It's like a direct reflection of, come on, body, like, let's go. And being mad at yourself and frustrated that you're not producing as many eggs as you should be, or your lining isn't good. It's like just constant beating yourself up in a way when you have no control over it and you're doing all the things. And it's so frustrating. I'd go straight from that in the morning and being late to work. My coworkers would like cover for me. Then you have to put on a new hat to be calm. But anyway, so I think with the positivity is you almost have to start to build like a positivity bias. And that's like one thing I actually learned. One of my reproductive endocrinologists, I was talking to her about it. And she's like, there's no data out there that shows like stress and worry are linked to infertility and poor outcomes. But what is linked to positive outcomes in infertility patients is actually people having a positive attitude.
Wow,
like that's actually proven. Like that's only like data out that's actually proven. I was like, great. That almost gave me just that green light again, because in a way I was like afraid to be too positive because you don't want to get let down. But when you choose to see the light, you know, and you choose a thought and a narrative that serves you, and this can be in infertility or just anything in life, you know, that's kind of how I drew everything, is you search, your brain will automatically search for the evidence to prove yourself right either way.
100% self-fulfilling prophecy, confirmation bias. Manifesting.
Yes.
It's all the
same. Exactly. Yes. It's so true. Yeah. So so that's the main theme in it. And what I'm grateful for now is that I've been able to kind of go through that and really realize that and just to be able to pass that down now to my own son, you know?
Yeah.
And help him with that. Yeah. So.
Oh, I love that. Gosh, it's just such a roller coaster of a journey, I would imagine.
Yeah. Yes.
So in that line of conversation with regard to your infertility journey, but also just your career journey, your life journey. How did all of that lead to a place where you're at now with purpose, where you feel like you're doing something really purposeful and it feels really aligned and connected to what you came here to do? So how did that influence that purpose, and how has your purpose kind of evolved over time?
I love this question. I love this question only because I didn't realize how your purpose can evolve over time and really change. Yeah. And I didn't realize that sometimes when you are taken off your path and you have to get flexible in your methods to get to an end goal, you know, like I really thought my end goal to being a mom would be, oh, we get pregnant and it just happens, right? is the hope. But I went through a really tough journey to get there. And it sounds crazy, but I'm not mad at it anymore. I'm honestly grateful for the hard journey and the hardships. I'm not grateful for the miscarriage or any of like that, but I do really believe that it really shaped me into the person I am, you know, and it's really shaped me into the mom I am now. I have endless amount of gratitude every single day, because sometimes I'm still like, I can't believe he's here. I did not think this would happen. There's so many times I didn't think this would happen. So when he drives me crazy, and pushes my buttons, you know, he's seven. Yeah. So we're kind of out of like the really, like seven's honestly a super fun age, but there's little sides of him. I'm like, a lot of times your kids are a direct reflection of you too, you know.
Oh, yeah. So
you have no one but yourself to blame. But being able to have that patience with him now, mm-hmm. I don't think I would have had it had my journey been easy to get there.
Yeah.
And also the fact that I was forced to think outside the box and use my brain in a different way outside of anesthesia. I'm going to be honest, I probably never would have gone into like any sort of online marketing, network marketing, direct sales. Mm-hmm. I never would have done any of that if I wasn't like, desperate to like figure out a better way, you know, because I thought I was so above it, and which makes me sad to think about because I would be missing out on so much and using my brain in a different way. I mean, I would be grinding still in the operating room because once you get to a certain, you know, income level too, you get used to that income level. You elevate your lifestyle, right?
Yep.
And yep. You have goals and you want to enjoy life. I want to, you know, pay a small fortune to go on spring break when my son has his spring break. It's ridiculous yeah. how expensive that stuff is.
Everything's expensive.
Everything. Hockey now, all the stuff. So to be able to figure out a way to work less in the operating room, but supplement in other ways was really purposeful. But I didn't realize that in it, I'd be building a community of hundreds of women who are also like that, who also see that, you know, you find those like-minded people. And then you yes. also find people who are like really elevated thinking where they're like, no, it is possible. They are super positive, right? Because I'm searching for that evidence all the time. So I notice those people more. I align myself with them. Right? Like that's mm-hmm. what you and I connect so yeah. well too. I'm like, let's go do a 3-hour lunch anytime, you know,
just
yes. talk about this stuff. When you think outside the box and you really cast that vision of where you want to be and really practice that, you know, you start to find those things and it starts to really come to fruition, I feel like.
Yeah. Oh, you're speaking my language. So much good stuff I'm writing down here. I think I love what you said about being flexible in your methods and kind of setting this vision. And what I hear you saying is essentially you're surrendering, you're letting go of attachment, and you are embracing attracting your vision in all sorts of ways. And I think that's the power and the beauty of manifesting is mm-hmm. whether you say you're confirming it or you're attracting it, it's really the same thing. What you think you get and yep. What you think you see in the world, right? And whatever the mechanisms are of that transpiring in your reality. But I love what you're saying about like, yeah, letting go of that attachment and staying very clear on your vision, but being flexible in how it arrives and how it shows up.
Yeah.
I think that is so important for success. And I also just love what you said in the very beginning about getting into the rooms. I think when you get into rooms with other people, that's where things can, the little puzzle pieces of your manifestation can come to you. They can interact with you. They can be brought to you or they can be confirmed, right?
100%. 100%. Yeah. I think too, a big thing that you just made me think about too, I think is so important is learning to love the journey instead of just being so obsessed yes. with the end goal. Like learn to like where you're at, like right now. Like I love where I'm at right now. Like, yeah, I still have big goals. That's great. You know, but I'm still like mm-hmm. having fun with yeah. this lifestyle and working towards, you know, whatever that is. But it's just, I really, every day you have to ask yourself, like, is this putting me in line with where I want to be in the future? You know, and I think especially in the medical field, you know, you have people that love it there, but there's also this culture, you have to be a team player and you have to neglect your family or neglect your mental health and neglect this. And you got to show up to work and you got to work yes. extra. And you got to do this. You got to stay late. You got to all the things. And what ends up happening is people who are like the diehard workers there, part of the club there, they're the ones that show up and they say yes mm-hmm. to everything and they're burnt out and they're also very bitter. And they have this mindset that, well, it's not there. It's like a resentment a little bit. And then they yeah. resent the people that are a little more part-time and kind of building a different life, you know? And it's like what you said about getting yourself in the room. It's like, I kind of chose to remove myself from that because mm-hmm. I knew it wasn't, I wanted so badly to be accepted and be looked at as like, oh, Sarah Cole, she's like that heart team leader, like hardcore CRNA, like top dog, like doing all the toughest cases. And, you know, I did that in Chicago. I did that straight out of school. But what is much more fulfilling to me now, honestly, is that I go there, I give great anesthesia. I love my job. I'm always in a good mood when I'm there because I'm not there all the time, right? I'm there like mm-hmm. 1 or 2 days a week. And then my real life is at home too. And with my friends and, you know, family and working with my team, with my network marketing team and building them up and just kind of encouraging them to see life in a different way. See that there's lots of different ways to build their life. You know, that I think it's just, you know, there's so much right now, like everything is so expensive, right? Just inflation, yeah. blah, blah, blah. But giving them some solutions and some hope, you know?
Yeah. Do you feel like being in that role and being like so deeply immersed in purpose allows you to show up differently in your other role and take some of the heat and pressure off of like needing to be fulfilled in that medical environment?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I would even argue that I perform better in anesthesia and up better. Because I think I'm like refreshed when I'm there.
Yeah,
you know?
You're fulfilled. Your cup is full.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And also mm-hmm. learning how to fill your own cup too.
Yes.
But and also figure out how to, yeah, like satisfy like those needs that you have. You know, like if you're not for sleeping sure. and eating well and moving your body, whatever that is, like, mm-hmm. you know, I like to go for girl hikes with my dog, like that really fills my cup, you know, and
love
her
that.
Cup too, you know, and all of that. I'm not going to show up well at work. And like I said, I was in total burnout mode, you know, back in the day, I yeah. had no time. I'm working a 12-hour shift, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. I'm not exercising that day. It's just not going to happen. And I would do the same thing the next day, you know, it'd be 12 hours a day. 6 days a week, oftentimes. It's just, it's not sustainable. But I feel like, yeah, when you step more into that purpose and just realize like, it's okay to be flexible. It's okay to find that bigger balance and to not worry so much about what people think about that too. Like if you're
yeah,
in the corporate
that's the
world,
big one, right? Yeah.
Right. You're in the corporate mm-hmm. world, the medical world, whatever that is, whatever your career path is, you know, you're not a failure for pivoting a little bit and adding something else to your life too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you don't have to necessarily announce it to the world, right? And right. in the beginning until you're comfortable with it, because at the end of the day, you have to believe in what you're doing and you have to feel good about your path. But it's so hard when you're just used to, which a lot of listeners are here, used to kind of finding peace and happiness and joy in external approval or people pleasing. Right. Not because they aren't good enough, but just the way that we're raised, right? Our programming.
Yes. I am a recovering people pleaser. That
is. You and I both, sister, we talk yeah. about this all the time. Okay. So opening up about your personal struggles online often, which you do, which I love, especially, you know, your infertility, but also just your entire life, you know, parenting, your career, your money, that's not easy to do. That takes a lot of guts and a lot of courage because to our earlier point, it really opens you up to a lot of potential judgment and criticism. Sure. How has sharing your story authentically impacted other people? And then what I really want to understand and I'm curious about is how has it helped you in your business? How has it helped you attract aligned team members and grow your business and aligned clients and ultimately financial abundance and freedom? Because that's what we all want really at the end of the day, right? We want the freedom.
Yeah. Totally. You know, at first I was very nervous about it, right? Mm-hmm. Because yeah. I innately in my being, I'm a people pleaser. I easily mm-hmm. feel guilty. I want people to like me, you know, that yes. all of that stuff.
And inner chatter.
The inner chatter in your head too. And then I also mm-hmm. started to realize, and I learned, you know, through coaching, therapy, everything, is that you trying to be well-liked by people is you actually just trying to control people's outlook on you. And that's not actual yes. true kindness, right? That's not mm-hmm. truly trying to serve, you know? Yes. And if I really wanted to authentically serve people, I think being really vulnerable and sharing your truth because it creates a safe space for other people to live in theirs too is really like that's how I wanted to connect. Cause like really that's what we're all trying to do is really connect. with people. Like that's what lights me up, you know, is connected. It's not even just like the extra money and income is a nice side effect of that, you know, yeah. But that's not really what keeps me going, you know, mm-hmm. Cause really, yeah. You know, you see that paycheck hit, that's a quick dopamine hit, but that's like cheap dopamine. You know what I'm saying?
Of course. Momentary. Way. It's fleeting.
It's
momentary. Yeah.
It's fleeting. It's not mm-hmm. like that inner fulfillment, you know, and what really yes. brings me, you know, joy. But putting myself out there at first, you know, I was honestly really scared. And even my husband was like, girl, are you sure about this? Like, are you, you know, and I was, this feels right to me because I like being going mm-hmm. through infertility, I kept it super private in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Like no one knew. My parents, like, I think I might've told my mom at some point, but like I was embarrassed. I was like, no, people don't need to know. Like, let's just get this over with and get pregnant and blah, blah, blah. But then it took longer and longer. And when that is like your life, you know, and that's like, people are like, hey, Sarah, what's new? I'm like, well, my entire world is basically just trying to get pregnant right now, but let's try to switch my brain. I started to realize, like, why am I keeping this a secret? Why can't I just really share? And when I started doing that, that was also around the time that I decided to do network marketing. And, mm-hmm. and at first I honestly kept it. And I honestly do keep my business very much on social media and online. I'm very separate from my real life, to be honest. Yeah. And I like, that's a good balance for me because I love the idea of me being able to put myself out there with, I mean, literally thousands and thousands of people on social media, right? Mm-hmm. And to be the person where I can connect and maybe share a story that connects with somebody else where they are looking for it. Mm-hmm. I put it out there yes. to find people that are looking for something. Like what I'm offering, because if I hadn't found it myself from a coworker, which I did find it in my real life. Right. Yeah. And she like had no idea what she's doing and I joined her, you know, we had fun together, you know, doing it, but I was so grateful. And I started mm-hmm. to realize too, that by me not sharing it, it's a little more selfish because I'm more concerned about how I look and my image and me feeling a certain yeah. way than about somebody else who might benefit from it had I not shared it with them. You know?
Removed yourself from the equation.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Thinking about other people. I love that. Exactly. Oh, so good.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, and also it was, I think, very healing for me to be able to connect with other people going through it and realizing you're not as alone too. And I think even just sharing my inner stuff, like I will talk a lot about, like, hey, who out there isn't afraid to say, I would like to work more part-time. Like I think a lot of us, like it's the same, I mean, doctors go through the same thing. A lot of people with these bigger, you know, medical careers, you know, they think like, oh, you went to medical school and spent all this money. Like, how are you not working full-time? And, you know, blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah, you know, and so career focus, like it's okay in a season of life that can always change to alter that a little bit and change things, you know, and find that purpose that way.
Love it. So along your journey, what have been maybe some of the most valuable lessons or what advice would you leave listeners with who are facing similar challenges or pursuing their own entrepreneurial endeavors?
The one that sticks out to me the most, I think that has helped me a lot because I think about it a lot, is never take advice or criticism from somebody you wouldn't want to trade places with.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because that mm-hmm. was honestly what almost held me back from doing any sort of like online business, network marketing. Mm-hmm. I almost didn't do it because I think it was like one anesthesiologist I worked with and like one other CRNA who were like, why are you doing that? They had negative things to say about it. Like they thought it was silly. Right.
Yeah.
And I was like, it really took me down some notches. It did. It really did. And when I really thought about it though, I was like, wait a minute though. Why am I taking criticism from them? One of them is bitter and all the time at work and cranky, but she's at work all the time, you know, and she's going mm-hmm. through her own stuff. And a lot of times I realize people's judgments or criticism are a direct reflection of something going on in their own lives. So I learned to have compassion. So I kind of learned mm-hmm. to have some compassion for her. She's a single mom at the time. Like she's going through a lot. And same with that Sierra. And I was like, you know what? Let me find the people that I do want to trade places with. Let me find the people who are living the life. And a lot of times too, those people that I really look up to, they don't have time to criticize. They're too busy living in their fulfillment, being joyful, and honestly being genuinely happy for people to find their path that they're not the mean girl behind a screen, whatever, judging people on social media. You know, they're the ones building people up, you know. So find those people. Make sure you surround yourself with that. It still goes with have that narrative that those people are out there. That's who you want to surround yourself with. And you will find that evidence to prove yourself right.
Yes.
I was working towards, I wanted to get a certain type of car at one point, that was my goal, and you notice those cars everywhere. I mean, if you're trying to get pregnant, you see all the pregnant people, it feels like everybody's pregnant, right. what I'm saying? So when you choose that positive narrative and look, and I know there's a lot of women that are like me, they're in my shoes, they're looking for something that I can offer them. And that is exactly what has happened, over the past, 3 years building with the current company that I'm with too. And I couldn't be more grateful for it. So
I'm so happy for you. I so appreciate you sharing your incredible journey and your insights. There's just so many good takeaways here for our listeners. Your story, Sarah, really truly is so inspiring. And I'm so grateful we've had the opportunity to listen and learn from your experience. Tell us, as we wrap things up here, a little bit about your business and where people can find you if they are interested in following your journey or want to potentially explore a career path with you.
Yeah, no problem. So easiest is just on good old Instagram.
Oh yeah.
and I'm somebody too where I feel like my people are ones that aren't huge Instagram followings. I'm a very humble account, but I love to connect with people. But simply Sarah Cole is my handle. And I share all the things over there. You'll see some behind the scenes in the operating room sometimes. Follow me on one of my 20, I do 24-hour shifts, 2-3 days a month. And then, I work in actually a fertility center now too, doing IVF anesthesia, which makes me so happy that I found that. It's crazy because I literally envisioned, I was like, I want to work and do IVF anesthesia in a really cute office. It's not too far from my house. That would be so awesome if that just would happen. I kid you not, Marissa, 10 minutes from my house, beautiful new office, just opened, fell into my lap. One of my friends told me about it. I mean,
you manifested it. Who are you kidding?
If that's not confirmation that this works, I don't know what is. Anyway, so that's some of the things I share. So would love to connect with anybody over there.
Yeah. And tell us a little bit about Hugh and Grace.
Hugh and Grace. Yes. So I actually found them. A friend of a friend connected me with the CEOs and the co-founders and their parents. And they had a 14-year infertility journey, which most people would give up. I'm going to be honest. 14 years is a very long time, but they end up using surrogate, and it was their Ben's sister first, and then it was Sarah's sister. So those are the two CEOs. So their sisters were surrogates, and then they had their two kids, Hugh and Grace. And during their entire journey, they learned about hormone health and endocrine disrupting chemicals that are in all of our products. And Ben was like, okay, great. Let's hang out. We have our kids, let's relax. And then his wife, Sarah, was, nope, we're going to start a company. And they're going to completely, they wanted to make a big impact. It's not even so much about the money. They wanted to make a big impact. And they decided instead of carrying it in retail brick and mortar stores, they wanted to build a community around it instead. Mm-hmm. So they started looking for people to help them build it. And they found me through friend of a friend of a friend. Sarah Jensen, the CEO, she is a master connector, an absolute master at finding people and all of that. And all of it. She used to raise money for USC, work with billionaires who would donate. And so anyway, so she's very good at that kind of stuff. And they were able to find me. And I was like, you know what? I actually walked away from a 6-figure income I was making at my previous company. And I was like, I'm going to start over. It's not about the money, I can always rebuild, but this is purpose. This seemed something that was kind of meant for me to do, and my husband agreed, which I was surprised because I think he liked that. I obviously liked that extra income we had, but I was like, I can do it again. I've done it before. Mm-hmm. I can do it again. Help a lot more women that way. And because I think when you live in your purpose, that side effect of, extra income and abundance comes with you too. So that's how I've been working with them. So we're carried in retail stores still. So we can have retail. And then we also have affiliates as well that you can work with, or you can just kind of do it for fun, and get a discount. So So yeah, that's what we do.
Awesome. So yeah, if you are listening and you are looking for inspiration or advice or a side passion, as I like to say, instead of side hustle, reach out to Sarah, follow her, check her out. I know she's always, whether it's Hugh and Grace or anything in general, I know Sarah's always dropping advice and tips for people to help them kind of find their way. So thank you so much for being here. I'm so grateful. Really appreciate it. I know this is going to be really valuable for everyone listening.
I hope so. I hope so. And thank you so much for having me on. It was fun.
Of course. Thanks, Sarah.
All right. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Beyond Busy. If you liked what you heard, make sure you hit subscribe so that you never miss an episode. Show us some love by leaving a review and share it with those who may need this message. Want more? Hop on over to Instagram and follow Breakup with Busy. Want to chat one-to-one about these topics in depth? Visit breakupwithbusy.com and grab a time to connect with me directly. Until next time, sending you love and light.